On the show today, we have CUNA's senior economist, Jordan Van Ryan, giving us the latest economic numbers and the forecast for Q3 and Q4. So is there going to be a bounce back? Well, watch and find out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have CUNA's very own Jordan Van Ryan. You are the senior economist there at CUNA. How are things going, Jordan? But every day is an adventure for you.
It is indeed. We're hanging in there. You know, the data is changing every day, trying to stay on top of things, trying to get the word out there for credit unions. But we're hanging in there. We're doing okay. How about yourself?
We're doing all right. We're doing the same. Yeah, we're doing all our shelter in place thing and then just kind of roll it. I mean, these are kind of, we just kind of have to roll with it, you know? You can't really fight it. You got to roll with it. So you just kind of follow your orders and you just, you know, hope for the best and prepare for the worst type of thing. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
We are. And speaking of the, and we're going to be talking about the economy, obviously. And that's, like you said, this is like changing like on an hourly basis or maybe a minute by minute basis these days. So having said that, well, I mean, what's the latest status with our economy, especially since they just launched the payments protection program last week? And there seems to be a lot of questions about it. So what's going on right now, Jordan?
Yeah, so the economy is almost certainly in a recession already, even though, you know, we don't yet have the official kind of GDP figures to tell us that, but almost certainly.
Oh, yeah.
The most frightening figures, I think, for us as economists have been the unemployment claims figures. I don't know if you've seen those.
I haven't seen the latest ones yet.
I think we'll have another one coming out tomorrow, but, you know, in just 2 weeks, 10 million people filing for unemployment insurance. Prior to that, the highest we've ever had in any 1 week has been 700,000. So this is like multiple times higher than any period during the Great Recession, you know, worse than any week of the Great Recession going back all the way to the 60s. So that's pretty concerning, you know, because when people are out of work, it's tough, not only the loss of income, but for many people, the job is really a source of meaning, fulfillment, social connection. So losing all of those things, you know, like we saw during the Great Recession, we see, you know, anxiety go up, depression go up, even suicides, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So that's the economic statistic that I'm most worried about is probably the unemployment rate.
Right.
Which, you know, many people, Janet Yellen, for example, former federal chairwoman, came out recently and said she thought the unemployment rate right now is probably closer to 13%. Even though the official rate is only about 4.5%, and the highest it ever got during the Great Recession was 10%. Right. So I think we're going to be in for quite a wild ride here.
Yeah, no doubt. But I mean, I'm an eternal optimist, and that's probably a huge flaw sometimes. But
no, that's great.
I'm trying.
We need
I'm
that
really
optimism.
Trying. But do you see these, once we get on the backside of this thing, and like we were talking before the recording, hopefully sooner rather than later, do you see those jobs bouncing back? I mean, like in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, do you see a bounce back at least for some of this? Or
yeah, that's really the big question. We really hope so. We just released our updated forecast. And at this point, we have unemployment going up to about 15% in the second quarter and then falling to about 10% by the end of the year. I think it really depends on the industry, the types of jobs. You know, we hear from a lot of people that they're just being furloughed for maybe a couple of months. But you know, a big question I have is we had all of these longer term trends towards certain things like doing more things remote or digital or online. So, for example, you know, the declining trends in the retail sector and more people, you know, doing online food orders. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, at my university, we were transitioning slowly towards online learning. And now, of course, we have to do distance learning, you know, just like that from, you know, one day to the next. So to what extent is this going to really speed up those processes to where maybe things like, you know, movie theaters, for example, or commercial malls, I mean, some of those might not ever come back depending on how long this lasts. So I think that's really the big question right now is how many of those jobs are going to be kind of gone for good and how many are going to come back. We still, I think like you, we maybe it's wishful thinking, but we try to stay quite optimistic. And we, you know, we follow, of course, the coronavirus epidemic curves.
Careful.
I think that's the word, right?
Can't pull a muscle. It's a word and a half.
Exactly. So most of those, you know, show up peaking out kind of midsummer. in which case by the second half of the year, we could potentially start recovering. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, you know, it is quite likely that a good proportion of those jobs will start coming back. And, you know, this could be a somewhat temporary, short-lived thing. But the longer things go on, the less likely that that's looking, unfortunately.
No doubt. Well, even more reason to kind of follow the orders right now. Stay in your homes, exactly. Shelter in place, wear the mask, and all that type of stuff. Just, man, just do that and we'll get past this. So anyway, that's my soapbox. So let's talk about lending right now. Obviously, the refi market is going nuts because of the rate lowering. Auto lending has come to, well, pardon the pun, a screeching halt. But it was slowing down anyway, based on the numbers that I read that you sent me last, they were slowing down anyway. I mean, We couldn't keep that pace the last, 5 years, auto lending has just been off the charts. So it's really difficult. But the big number that I saw in the information that you sent me was the GDP in Q2 is going to be a minus 20% or something. Can you explain that real quick? The minus 20%?
Yeah, so the forecasts really vary, and it's incredibly hard to say. You know, this is basically a planned recession, right? We're telling people, stay at home. You cannot go out to restaurants. You cannot go travel. You cannot go to tourist destinations. So what does that do to total, you know, economic output?
Yeah.
And it's hard to imagine that it won't do anything but decrease it significantly. So most of the forecasts we've seen, and we're kind of in this boat as well, estimate annualized GDP falling, you know, somewhere between maybe 15 to as much as 30% in the second quarter. We have it falling about 20%. That's annualized again.
Yeah.
So we do have it kind of bouncing back slowly in the third and fourth quarter.
I saw that.
For, I think, total decline, we have about 3.5 to 4% mm-hmm. for the year, mm-hmm. which would be a pretty dramatic fall in economic output, significantly less even than the Great Recession. But again, it could be a little bit more short-lived if most of this is temporary mm-hmm. and we're able to start kind of ramping up again in the second half of the year and into next year. But yeah, you asked about credit union lending, you know, and that's the big question. Auto sales, like you said, were kind of already going down. So if you look at auto loan growth, even, you know, up to 2019 at credit unions, it really dropped off significantly. We're still growing, but mm-hmm. I think new auto loans were up only 0.1% last year versus like double digits all of the previous years. So most of the forecasts we've seen have auto sales dropping, you know, maybe 15 to 20% this year.
Goodness.
That's about a third of credit union loan portfolios. So that's going to be a big hit there. But, you know, about half of credit union loan portfolios are mortgages, like you mentioned. And with the really low interest rates, we hear a lot of credit unions still have very full pipelines for refinances, HELOCs, second mortgages. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, it can be hard to do that sometimes with the social distancing and, you know, finding appraisers that can go to the home and title companies are closed. And so that's kind of holding things up a little bit. But at least for now, we still see mortgage markets and housing markets staying relatively strong.
Okay. Yeah. I'm always thinking like, God, can you imagine trying to buy a home during this time? But I mean, that's a whole nother show, but oh my gosh. It would just be nutty. Well, and speaking of that, I mean, could that be kind of a buffer? Could that kind of save the day a little bit for us here because of the demand that's going to go on? And from what I've read, that demand's going to continue throughout the year because the rates are going to stay so low.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Federal Reserve, of course, it lowered the Fed funds rate to mm-hmm. a range of just 0 to 0.25%, but it's also engaging in quantitative easing. So that's going to lower long-term rates as well. So we think long-term rates are going to stay very low. That's going to keep mortgage rates low. Mm-hmm. And it is going to enable credit unions to do a lot of mortgage lending. So, you know, that should stay relatively strong. That said, you know, mortgage lending tends to be at the larger credit unions. So still about 75% of credit unions, mostly the smaller ones, don't do any mortgage lending.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we're still a little bit more concerned about those smaller ones that can't rely on that mortgage lending to kind of act as that buffer during this time.
No doubt. No doubt. I want to talk about the relief packages here real quickly.
Yeah.
This has been kind of the elephant in my head, the elephant in the room in my head. It's like, I mean, I know it's necessary and we have to live in the present to do this type of stuff, but my gosh, this is a lot of money. I mean, we're talking trillions of dollars here.
Yeah, it's a big price tag, and it definitely seems like a lot of money, and it is. But, you know, we said the same thing during the Great Recession.
Yeah.
And we did see a huge peak in spending then. You know, my thought, and I think most economists you talk to say, that's something really to worry about another day. Later. Like right now, we really got the economy. We have to get the economy back on track.
Yeah.
We have to help people keep their jobs. And, you know, at this point, there are just more important things. And if the economy can get on track relatively soon and relatively quickly, kind of like what happened after the Great Recession, we had a really long, strong economic expansion.
Yeah.
And that eventually helped kind of, you know, pay down the federal debt. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, we have all of these other things happening as well, such as, you know, the administration's tax cuts that came into effect. We have an aging population, the issues with Social Security and healthcare. So it is a little bit different time, and it's somewhat scary to think about all of that. But, mm-hmm. you know, at this point, we're in the middle of just such a severe crisis that I think you have to just do whatever you have to do to kind of keep the economy on track and keep people in decent situations.
Agreed. Yeah. And my thought is like, gosh, again, like you said, if we bounce back relatively soon and quickly, I think we can really absorb that really well. Cause that's kind of the way we work. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is just the consumer behavior. And I don't know, this is kind of a philosophical type of question, but what's your take on the consumer behavior once all this is done? Because I read a story yesterday about how China is like 75% of the population. They're going to become bigger savers now as opposed to spending and stuff. And I remember before all of this happened, we were doing all these stories on, gosh, how can we get Americans to save more and you know, have a bigger cushion and, you know, in case of an emergency. And oh my gosh, here's our emergency. Hope you had something saved up to absorb it. So, I mean, so are we going to see bigger savings? Are we going to see this type of stuff? Or, I mean, I know it's kind of pie in the sky type of stuff right now, but from your perspective, what do you see happening out here based on kind of behaviors changing?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny thing. It's a great question, you know, and we talk a lot about, you know, helping people have $400, $500 tucked away, and then a crisis like this happens and that money's probably gone like that, right? Like, yeah. You know, that'll last maybe a week. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to your question, I think we definitely will see some changes. Now, a lot of people don't have savings, honestly, just because they don't have enough income.
Right.
And, you know, their expenses are too high, or they have so many emergencies, or kind of live in a paycheck to paycheck, and really can't develop that buffer that they really need. So part of it is really just helping people grow their incomes, you know, have higher wages and things of that nature, more support systems. We're seeing now, I think, a lot of changes towards the federal government getting much more involved in sending people money directly, right? So,
yeah.
And I think this is really highlighting the need for some kind of renovation to our healthcare system as well, right? I think that's becoming very clear. But certainly after the Great Recession, you saw a big increase in savings rates. Prior to the Great Recession, the savings rate was very low. I think it went negative for a time and then came up positive, and people were kind of expecting it to drift back down, but it stayed relatively high. And I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. People become a bit more cautious and worried about future recessions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think about, especially these young people that have lived through potentially the Great Recession and now this crisis, mm-hmm. you can imagine what this does to their behavior.
Yeah.
But I think also, as I mentioned before, some of those changes towards doing things more online, more remote, that's going to be a big shift as well. People now are maybe ordering groceries from home, ordering food from home. Certainly for credit unions, yeah, exactly. They're doing, you know, more financial transactions from their phone, for example. So, you know, whenever we talk about in economics, there are these barriers to people adopting new technologies. And this is kind of forcing people to overcome those barriers to the point where they're probably going to get used to these new technologies. They're going to say, hey, why wasn't I doing this before?
Exactly.
And they're going to continue using them. So that's something I think we're all going to have to adapt to. And credit unions certainly are going to have to adapt to that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you hear stories about people that went through the Great Depression and how that changed their behavior. And like, gosh, my grandmother always kept, you know, $200 underneath her mattress, even till the day she died type of things. Like, well, why? Well, because she went through the Great Depression. And that's the behavior change that we go through when you go through things like this. So
Absolutely.
Amazing stuff. And the last thing I wanted to talk about or just kind of address was in the last part of, I think it was your white paper that you guys did, was one credit union back in 2008 during the Great Recession said, look less in the mirror and more out the window. I love that saying. You want to just Absolutely. Briefly address that?
Yeah. You know, one of the things we're hearing from credit unions that they're starting to do is, of course, how they can better serve their members, how they can make sure their employees are safe. But one of the things credit unions can really do, too, is just kind of take a step back and go back to their mission, their vision. Why do we do what we do? And I think if you look at most credit unions' mission statements, it's really about helping people access affordable financial services, to have financial empowerment, to live financially independent lives, to mm-hmm. access savings, yeah. to really improve their lives through financial means. And I think the more we can remind ourselves of that during this really difficult time, it's really going to help us in our planning and thinking about how we can best serve our members.
Indeed. Well said, sir. Well said, Jordan. All right, man. Well, I'm going to let you get back at it. I know you have a little bit on your plate, so I appreciate the time as well. And maybe we can check back in a couple of weeks and see how things are going, all right?
Sounds great, Mike. Take care. Stay healthy.
You and your family stay safe and healthy. And we'll check in again in a couple of weeks, all right?
All right. Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks again.